Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by Content Snare. Content Snare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks or months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. Content Snare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at contentsnare.com. Welcome back to another episode of Agency Highway. I'm your host, James Rose, and today we've got Mr. Lee Jackson on the line. How are you, Lee?
G'day, mate. Are you right? I mean, hey, mate, how you doing?
Great start.
That was actually pretty good as well. You were impressed, I could tell.
Yeah. Very stereotypical. Pretty much on point. Like, thanks, I was mate. Waiting for you to pull out the "that's not a knife" call.
Oh, damn it. Missed opportunity.
Totally. So today is probably going to be a little bit more casual than normal because me and Lee are pretty good friends. We've met at least one time in real life. Does that count as friends?
With one whole selfie to share between us.
Yeah, we definitely screwed up there big time.
It's we hung out for like 3 days.
And we have one like half selfie where like I'm in the background and it's not even... and I have a filthy mustache. It was that time of year, November. Anyway... If you don't already know Lee is so many things, and that's the exact reason why I wanted to get him on today. So,
but so many good things.
Oh, absolutely. Well, number one, he's the nicest guy in the digital agency space, I think, anyway. He's always out there to help people, doing so many just positive things everywhere. So, props to you, Lee.
Thanks, mate.
But the thing that impresses me the most is his ability to churn out epic amounts of content while running an agency. You run an agency, correct?
Correct, yes. I actually run two agencies, mate.
What?
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, okay. Well, do we want to dig into that?
What, yeah? Well, I can tell you. Shall we go for that? All right. I run two businesses. So first business is called Angled Crown, which is named specifically to attract the US market because they love the British accent and they love the crown. Angled, I have no idea. So, and what we do is we work with design agencies all around the world, so including Australia of all places, and we work with those design agencies to do the WordPress part of what they do. I used to run a design agency many moons ago, and one of the most stressful parts of that was trying to find freelancers or third-party development houses which could deliver on the project basically and it wouldn't spiral out of control or they wouldn't just give it up or whatever. So we just set ourselves up really as Angle Crown to remove the stress of that portion of agency life, and that's kind of spawned into a podcast and all sorts of other things that have gone way beyond that original mission, which is pretty cool. And then the other company I run is a business called Event Engine. And that's where we developed about 8 or 9 years ago now. I'm actually old enough. So we developed software on WordPress, which allows event companies to run their websites as well as do things like registration and all sorts of other cool event management related processes. And we've got clients again all around the world, including just onboarding some new Indonesian clients, which is pretty awesome. And they use our platform more as a software as a service model, but we still in that do kind of your normal expected agency life stuff as well, which is sometimes we'll do design and branding and all the other stuff for those guys as well. So quite a lot going on.
Yeah, well, see, I knew about Event Engine, but I didn't know exactly what it was. So that's actually awesome to know. That's quite impressive.
Thanks, man.
So Angled Crown, I didn't realize that was the branding play there too, that with the crown being UK, they're like Americans liking the British accent.
It used to be Lee Jackson Dev,
yeah,
which made me sound like a one-man band when I've got a team. So I realized I really needed to change the name. And then I connected with Phil Palin. I think you know him as well. Really good, a good guy, great designer, great design team. And I was just like, guys, I need a new name. And I also need a brand. So they helped me develop the brand board and that, and then I kind of took that and put the website that's there together, which is still a freaking MVP website. What is that? Most agencies, I'm sure most agencies listening, probably the website you spent the least care and attention on are your own.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be mine as well. I managed to whack together a refreshed MVP a few months ago, you know, and it'll do, but oh gosh, I would love to spend some time on that thing.
And you know, it's kind of funny for an industry where we're building lots of great websites and telling people that they need a great website. Sometimes you can get away without a good website, you know, through referrals and other marketing channels.
A year into Lee Jackson Dev, I didn't even have a website and I was building websites for other people. But again, with the whole white labeling thing, like I'm a white label developer, I could kind of get away with that. So
Yeah, fair enough. Right. So what I hear a lot of complaints from agency owners that, you know, they don't have time to make content or, you know, because it is quite of a commitment, right? Like a blog post can take a day to write or whatever.
But no, it takes 5 minutes.
Well, it depends. We can talk about this another time, but maybe it's today. Maybe it's a topic for today because I've written, you know, epic posts that have taken me literally a week to write.
They,
you know,
they take ages.
But yeah. So I've got a blog post that gets more traffic than my homepage. That is one of those epics. So that's there's a whole variety of things, right? But it can take 5 minutes, sure. It can take days. But the point is, generally, content creation takes quite a bit of time. Yet here you are running two agencies as well as creating a community for web designers, which is at agencytrailblazer.com. Yes.
Correct. Yeah.
And a podcast, which is also there, you know, running a Facebook group, doing all these things. You've got you're like a content production machine as well as running two agencies. And that kind of blows my mind. So that's what I want to unpack today and how on earth you managed to do that.
I'll happily share whatever I can share, including how to write a blog post in 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely doing that. Okay. All right.
I'll tell you how in a minute. Ask me in a bit.
First question, off on some positivity. What's the best thing that's happened to you this year, man?
Right. Best thing that's happened to me this year literally happened about 3 days ago. My daughter has been having problems with her spine. She's got scoliosis, but we have discovered that the spine is strong. It's not a structural issue, which is freaking phenomenal. And it also means that she can now just carry on having all of her normal activities. She can go out, do sports, all of that good sort of stuff, and probably won't need to have an operation for some time to come, if ever. So that's the best news we could possibly have heard. So nothing to do with business. It's just, you know how it is with like family life and things that are stressing you out. It plays on your mind, isn't it, all the time?
Absolutely.
So it's just been really nice just to for everyone just to have that relief of knowing that we don't have any, you know, spinal surgery coming up. Because I got to be honest, like I feel like I would, if that meeting have gone the other way, I feel like I'd have probably thrown a bit of furniture around the room. Because as a dad, imagining your daughter having an operation on her spine, it's just like, I cannot cope with this. So yeah, best thing that's happened to me all year is just finding out that she's good to go and to live her life. And yes, she's got the issue with her spine, but she can live with it and she's doing really well with it as well. So
well, I'm very happy for you, Lee. Yeah, that's big news. Mm-hmm. All right, let's dig into content then. So what's a day for you look like? Like how are you balancing your agency and content production?
Okay, well, content production is actually one of my biggest jobs, you probably had guessed. And because of the structure of the agency, a lot of the delivery is done by my team. So I will do about 30% of the delivery nowadays. I will then do quite a lot of the project management. Just because of my technical ability, I'm able to project manage, especially developers, very well because I know what they need to be coding or how it needs to be structured. I can even create a function list and everything else. So I can basically dictate to everyone who needs to do what. And I'm also training Larissa Rupp, who works with me, to be able also to do that sort of level of project management, which is awesome.
Very good.
Because we're using a whole load of tools like Asana, Instagant, which gives us that kind of long-term projection of what's going on, we're able to communicate with clients really effectively, and we're also able to communicate internally really effectively, which does free up an awful lot of time for me to do this content, which is freaking awesome. And if I could do content full-time, I absolutely would if I could just get paid for content. But it's become our biggest marketing channel. So you and me would not have met were it not for the content that I create.
We met on Twitter.
There you go. And it was because of the podcast. It was because of, you know, whatever else I'm putting out there.
Exactly.
You and me Exactly. You and me get connected, and it's just been absolutely phenomenal driver, both for my personal brand, for business, and also for friendships. You and me are really good friends, and we've got a very close circle of friends together, you know, whom we've developed over the last few years on social media as well. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just all stemmed from creating content, putting it out there. And the important thing, Chris, I think it's Chris Marr talks about this. People talk about content marketing and they create the content, but they forget the marketing. So putting it out there for all to see and not being ashamed of whatever it is you've created and putting it out there. What was the question? I just started waffling.
Well, it was the balance, which I'll come back to. But you did raise a thing there with the putting the content out there, which was massive, right? Because you hear people go, you know, I've been blogging every week for 6 months and it hasn't mm-hmm. done anything for me. You know, if you haven't done marketing, that's what's going to happen. You know, it's not a build it and they will come kind of thing, unless you are building it for SEO specific, you know, terms that people are going to find you for, which is a lot of the content marketing I do is exactly that. It's SEO related stuff, but then, you have to share content too. Like there's other ways to get content out there, which is I was very heavy on this at the beginning of Content Snare, like sharing helpful stuff into other communities or whatever that you know, or answering questions or whatever, because you got to do the marketing.
Absolutely. And you don't even have to necessarily spend on the marketing. I mean, the SEO side of things, I know absolutely zilch about. Mm. I mean, we've done well as a result of the content, but that's being entirely 100,000,000% by accident with absolutely no strategy. So I tip my hat to you, sir. My way of marketing content has quite literally been, you know, through social media, through building up the group as well as best I can. So through, I guess my path to content has been selfishly through the podcast and through the guests that have come on the podcast, because as you interview a guest, they are going to be very proud. Like right now, I'm going to be very proud the second this is live and I'm going to share the crap out of this mm-hmm. episode that I'm on with you. Agency Highway, you got to check this out. I was on it. I was chatting with James. He's a really nice guy, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to put that on all my social media and probably do it a few times because I'm dead chuffed with that. And a group of my followers will probably end up listening to your podcast and thinking, hey, this is really good. I'm going to follow this guy. I'm going to go to check out his blog. So that's how it's grown for me. But it has been 3 years. It's definitely also a slow burn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, content marketing is never going to be an overnight thing unless you've got a lot of money to throw ads at blog posts that happen to make them go viral. But really, that's
not or you happen. capture something that people are really talking about and it just goes viral.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. All right. So back to the question. How are you balancing your day? So how are you, you know, you're still doing 30% of the delivery, which is still, to me, seems like a fair bit of work, right? Like
it's a chunk of work, man.
Yeah. So are you time blocking? Like what strategies are you using to sort of get time for content and deliverable?
I am absolutely time blocking. Yeah. I'm also, so there's several methods that I'm using. The first thing is the calendar every week is blocked out with free spaces for people to book podcast episodes with me. So like you've had my podcast link, I think before, and you'll see there's blocks that you can book. There's time for me to do project management. There's time for me to do written content. And, so there's that. The other thing I do is that I try and use my time really, really effectively. So I've got some content creation hacks that I use to allow me to create so much content and in as little time as possible. I'll tell you about those in a bit if you want.
Yes, please.
Awesome. I use the Pomodoro technique to be super focused. So it'll be 25 minutes of absolute focus. And then I need that 5 minute break to walk away from the machine. And because I need to just go and look in the fridge. Right now, we're working from home. We are about to move into our new office. It's just been all done up for us. They're putting in the ladies' loos, basically, and then we get to move in on the 15th. So until then, my five-minute break is to walk to the fridge, which is a really unhealthy five-minute walk, to look inside it. And then I don't actually take anything out of it. It's just this habit now. I go and I walk to the fridge. I open the fridge door. I look inside. I close the door. And I have a walk around. And then I'm back and bam.
That's a lot healthier than my walk to the fridge, because I can't go to the fridge without getting something out of it.
With the Fosters, mate.
Yeah. Don't start.
That was so racist.
I know you know we don't drink Fosters.
But they would have us believe here on the UK ads that you guys like,
absolutely,
you know, drink it from birth or something.
Absolutely. It's funny you bring up. Sorry.
I was going to say the Pomodoro technique is absolutely essential for me. It just gives me that focus. And it also means that I, in those 25 minutes, you kind of set a bit of a mental challenge for yourself. I need to finish before the alarm goes. I use a program called Focus. I think it's Focus 2 on Windows, although okay. You can use Tomato something or other on the Mac, and that does the same sort of thing.
Tomato-timer.com, I think, is one as well.
Is it?
One, web-based something, one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a web-based one, which means you don't have to even have to install anything. The other thing I do as well is I've got a very specific cutoff point of the day. 4 o'clock is the time we finish. And having a time that you finish in the day really helps focus you on getting all the stuff done that you need to get done, because weekends are off limits. I need to spend time with the family. You'll know we've had a few things going on at home, which have meant we really want to spend more time together because, you know, life's short. So not working all the time has been essential for me, which has made me really focus down on being very focused on what time I'm doing stuff and how quickly I do it. Because by 4 o'clock, if oldly had have thought, oh, I've got all this work to do, oh, I suppose I could work till midnight, it doesn't matter, then I would be inefficient and it would take me ages to work and do it. And I would end up working until midnight because I'd probably keep stopping and starting and having Netflix on in the corner of my screen, which is exactly what I used to do. Whereas having a cutoff time of 4 o'clock, I'm like, I got to get this done. I've got to be there for the family this evening. I can't be not focused. So, have that cutoff time for 4 o'clock. And then if I've not finished the work, I still finish at 4. I'm an early riser anyway. I can catch up in the morning, but I try not to do that because I don't want to kind of load the problem into the following day. So yeah, having that cutoff time of a specific time of the day gives me a work-life balance, which is helpful. And it gives me that drive to, I got to get this finished because 4 o'clock's nearly happened.
Yeah, I really like that because I think there's a lot of people that don't work very effectively yet do a lot of hours. You know, I've been in that camp too before, and I know a lot of my friends are exactly like that. You know, they work, they're doing the entrepreneur hustle and working massive hours a day and not really getting that much done.
The problem with that, mate, as well, is that's actually one of the paths that lead to it's like depression or stress and anxiety because you feel like you're not achieving anything. And that's the thing that really kills me. If I have a day where I feel like I've not achieved anything, it's a horrible day for me, and it builds up that anxiety as well and that stress and that feeling of lack of control of my business. And I hate all of that sort of stuff. So trying to pigeonhole things on, I'll just use Google Calendar to block those times out. There's nothing, there's no rocket science to it. Just knowing I've got those slots just helps to give that structure so I can get stuff done. And I do break it. All right. Sometimes there's an important meeting. I just have to do the important meeting, or sometimes I just need to do something else. So it's not set in stone. I'm not like anal about it.
Yeah. That's, I do daily theming for a lot of my days. And sometimes, if Monday's content day or whatever, and I've put out a bunch of content the week before and I have something really critical that I got to get done, then it's not a content day. You can definitely break your own rules. It's funny you bring up the Pomodoro thing, is because that's actually how Agency Highway started, the entire thing.
No way.
Yeah. Because, I'm in the Dynamite Circle, which is a paid online community of digital nomads and stuff, even though, I own a house, so I'm probably breaking the rules. But
edit that bit out.
And when I say I own a house, I mean the bank owns a house and I pretend to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go. That's all right.
Yeah. So anyway, they had this little thing going on to get a side project completed in, say, 6 months or whatever. They called it the Two Tomato Club because the Pomodoro method is obviously the tomato timer. That's the 25-minute thing. So two tomatoes a day working on your side project, my side project being Agency Highway. So yeah, that's how this whole thing came about.
Brilliant. Yeah. And was it the first 25 minutes you had it planned?
Yeah.
Yes. Amazing how much you can do in 25 minutes though, seriously.
Yeah, no, it is. Like for the first week, I was like, holy hell, I've made so much progress every single day. But now it's just baked in. I don't actually, track two tomatoes worth of time. And it just kind of happens now. So,
Two tomatoes. Yeah. I'll admit that sometimes I'll do back to back 25 minutes and not take a 5 minute break sometimes when I'm really, really in the zone.
That's, that's actually a Pomodoro thing as well. Sometimes they say do a 50-10. Yep.
Oh, I feel all right now.
Yep. Okay. Totally fine. Cool. All right.
We're all good.
So you're obviously making, you've time blocks to create content, which is kind of what I expected, because that's what a lot of us do. What content do you enjoy creating the most? Obviously, your podcast is pretty up there, but what else are you doing besides the podcast?
All right. So, yes, the podcast is my favorite, obviously. Been doing that for 3 years, and we're rocking up to 200 episodes. We've actually done more than 200 episodes, if you count all these little mini episodes that I should have just numbered. So that could have gone above 200 by now. But anyway, you know, that's my fault. I also do YouTube videos. I haven't done them for a little while simply because logistically, the end of the lease was up at the old place. So we've secured our new place. And we're kind of in this hiatus where we're stuck in our homes. So I can't really do the videos quite so well. And I've just kind of given up on that until we've got the studio all set up. But do love doing videos. We've got a YouTube channel as well. The other thing I do like doing is creating blog posts. And I do create a lot of content in the Agency Trailblazer community, which is kind of a paid community. We've got the free Facebook group, got about 2,000 members in there, which is awesome. But then we've also got the paid community where I'm creating content in there, which is also content that's coming from my book that I've been writing for the last few months, which is essentially like an agency reset roadmap for agencies that kind of feel like they've lost the way and fallen out of love with their business. So it's not all about how to be multimillionaires and all that rubbish, because there's plenty of people that tell you how to do that. What's this in front of the Lamborghini they rented for the day? mine's more just telling you how to just find some happiness with agency life, because there are just too many agencies that close because they feel like they've fallen out of love with it.
Absolutely. And I can vouch for that community, because I've been in there, and you guys do masterminds, and I wish they were at a time that actually worked for me. 2 a.m.
I switched it up the other day. So Australia and one Australian.
I didn't see that.
Roby Lawrence is a legend. No matter what time he turns up. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's an absolutely great dude. Yeah. But yeah, if you are interested in everything Lee's just spoken about, that's also at agencytrailblazer.com. So head over there and check that out. Obviously, we'll be in the show notes as well.
Well, it wasn't an ad, but yeah, that's what kind of the other content that
I do. No, I'm doing the ad.
Oh, thanks, mate. Well, you do sponsor us as well, so I suppose it's just reciprocal now, isn't it?
Of course.
I'll send you last check back.
$100 under the virtual table. right, so I guess this is going to be your 5-minute blog post thing, because my next question I wanted to talk to you about was how people can streamline their content, because, you know, obviously some level of efficiency is required here to crank out lots of content. So let's talk about your process and then the 5-minute thingy, unless that's all part of the same thing.
My process, kind of all the same thing. Well, I've got several processes. I guess you could talk about podcasting. Well, I'll reel a few things off and you tell me when I should have. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, sounds fair enough. Well, the first thing would be, you've probably heard of this, is called batching. You absolutely need to batch your content. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to commit to putting out some sort of content once a week or twice a week or whatever it is, right now we're putting out 3 podcasts a week, so there's a lot of commitment. You absolutely have to batch. And what I mean by that is get several episodes in the can, as it were, in advance, get them scheduled up, get the podcast notes written up, or the video notes, whatever it is, if you're putting out a YouTube video, get it all scheduled and get it automated. So plug in Zapier or whatever you need to automatically share it when it goes live, all of that good stuff, just simply so that you've got a run of at least 2 to 3 weeks. Now, thankfully, I had a run of 2 months worth of content for the podcast, so that when we had a family member who was really ill and sadly passed away, I was able to just take my foot completely off the pedal and create no content for nearly 2 months whilst the podcast just ran itself. And I was obviously able to spend lots of time with the family, which was, well, really essential and really important. So I'm not saying it for that reason, but it's just for your sanity and for your productivity as a business. It's really helpful to say, right, I am going to spend the first, 3 or 4 days of the month just creating the content for that month. If you can create content for 2 months in advance, brilliant. Because if you've always got that kind of excess of content, it also allows you to switch stuff around. So very often, I put a podcast live the other day that I recorded about 3 months ago, but I in between that, we recorded other episodes which were really relevant to the time. So I put them out first and just kept moving that along. And then the conversation in the group started all about that. So I then moved that forward and put it in. So you have that flexibility as well if you've got all of this content. Nice. So yeah, batching. I'm pretty sure you're probably doing that right now as well, are you?
Yeah, well, I imagine this podcast would, if people listening to this, are probably listening to it 6 weeks in the future, maybe 7 weeks in the future. And it's exactly the same, you know, like I need to be that far ahead as well, otherwise I will go insane. Typically with blog posts, I do similar stuff, you know, like we'll schedule posts for a week.
Good
or
old
two.
WordPress.
Yeah, absolutely.
First thing we do, I mean, there's quite a few things we do as well. So with regards to the podcast, the blog post then, I don't necessarily batch them, but that's because I've got the ability to create a blog post or that sort of content down to a ridiculously easy method. Mm-hmm. Finding content is easy enough. You look at the communities that you're in. What are the questions that are being asked? What are the questions that are coming into your inbox? So that's pretty easy. You've got loads of content you can grab hold of anytime. All I do is I come up with three or four questions that I think are really relevant. And then I'll either go for a walk or I'll go and sit in a room. I'll grab my phone. There's a little recording app on your phone, which you can use. And I'll essentially answer that question just into my phone, just from whatever comes off the top of my head. I also record quite a lot of meetings that I'm in with clients, because sometimes when they ask me a question, I reply in a blog post. If you actually think about the conversations that you have, a lot of responses that you give are usually more than 500 words, and you don't even realize that you replied in a really perfectly formed blog post, which only really needs editing a little bit. So once I've done that kind of response, sometimes I might have to break down a question into some bullets underneath. So I've got a format for my speech, but still, as long as I can talk it into an app, I'm not overthinking it. I'm not there on the first line trying to come up with that nice opening line that sounds amazing, because I'm just literally just spieling it off the top, not top of my head, but it's just coming out naturally as if it was a conversation.
Yeah.
I send it off to rev.com. They transcribe it for me. I edit it slightly. Job done. Which literally means I have created blog posts in 5 minutes before, well, several times over. In fact, I put a short recording on the group 2 days ago about pricing. Was it yesterday morning? Yeah, it was yesterday morning. I woke up and I just had this thing about pricing for care plans. And I just spoke into the microphone for 3 minutes. So that's already gone to rev.com. That'll be back. And that's going to be about a 300 or 400 word article that I'll then pop up on LinkedIn or somewhere like that. Because everything is content and it's really, really easy, which leads to another point, to repurpose a lot of that content as well. So I can repurpose the meeting. As in a section of that meeting where I'll get that audio out, that actually becomes a blog post, or I repurpose the audio that I did for the blog post. That also becomes an audio snippet that I can use as something to share on social media as well. So there's all sorts of ways of getting more from the content that you've created as well, which makes you look like a content creation god when all it is just one thing that you've done, but you've put it into multiple formats. I do same with the podcast. Hashtag Agency Life right now is on YouTube, but it's also a podcast episode. So I'm doing what you do. I record on Zoom. We're looking at the camera. It's a video that goes up onto YouTube, but equally it also goes in as a full podcast episode into that as well for the people that don't consume content on YouTube, because people consume content in loads of different areas in loads of different ways. There you go. There's a few hacks that we
did. That's awesome. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about the transcribed audio, because maybe it's just the way I talk, but generally all over the place. I'm talking not about how hard and I am to understand for Americans. I'm talking about, I don't know, I guess the way I speak, you know, just then I said, I don't know. Like, that doesn't really read very well in a blog post. So I find when I do,
but that's a filler phrase, and you can just do a control F and go and find those filler phrases and remove them. It's just like an I don't know. Like, I still say all that, they're filler phrases, and it doesn't affect the transcription. You just remove those. It is easy enough.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just trying to get an idea of how much you spend editing those posts. I guess it might vary a bit, but when I'm writing a blog post, especially one that I want to be like an epic piece of content that is, showing up on Google and getting shared and that kind of stuff, I want it to be really logically structured and laid out with headings and bullet points and all that sort of stuff. Whereas, you know, when I speak, it's all over the bloody place. So what are your thoughts there?
Well, that's why I recommend for the longer post, you bullet it out. So I don't necessarily recommend this technique to do a whole epic blog. Right. Absolutely not. I mean, I'm talking about creating a 300 to 500 word blog post on the fly about a very specific topic where you've only got a few things to say and you just need to drive home a specific point, and that's just going to pour out of you nice and naturally.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Once it's been transcribed, you're all good. Now, if you're going to do an epic post, what I'll often do, and my epic posts aren't actually public. Most of my epic posts are actually content inside of the membership area. What I do with those is I break those down into, I plan the structure. You know, you kind of flat plan it. You know, like you said, you've got that logical flow. And then I will do one recording per small section. So I might write some of it because it just comes naturally and it's just as quick to write, job done. I've done that bit. But then the other bit, there's so much to say and I don't even know how to formulate it in text that I'll then just record myself talking about it. And I might then snip in about halfway through and then take a section out thinking that was perfect. I'll use that and then I'll get that bit transcribed, etc. So for epic posts, it can help. But you know, this is definitely for the on the fly. I just need to, I've got this piece of content I need to create, and the quickest way for me to do it, this thing that I need to say, it's going to be quicker to just talk it into a microphone.
Yeah. And it seems to go perfectly with that strategy you were talking about of just answering questions that you get in the community or that clients give you. Cause I've heard that a few times and it's one of those bits of advice I've never actually freaking taken. It's just,
it's all right. I don't take loads of advice, mate. I'm terrible.
Yeah, because I love that. Because the other thing is, if you have people asking those questions, especially if it happens more than once, you can bet that people are typing that into Google as well. I think, and plus you're answering stuff that people actually want to get answered, you know, so it's more likely to get shared or whatever. So I think that's...
And video is pretty cool for that as well, because I've noticed now that I'm actually coming up as Google results for specific questions on YouTube videos. Wow. Because I've created quite a few now. I don't know how many I've created, but on particular subjects, and my video comes up. I'm like, whoa, look at that. There I am.
Yeah, that is cool.
And that's like in the number one spot, isn't it? It's not even my website. It's my video, but it's one step away from connecting with me, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And I've had some random videos like that too, where I've just been sort of trying to help someone or answering a question exactly like that. And then out of nowhere, this is just like, it got, you know, 10,000 views, you know, isn't a huge amount, but compared to all my other videos, which are like 500, it's like, wow, just because I answered a question, and it continues to grow and get viewed and get commented on. I'm like, this is just a random piece of content that I created.
Well, my most popular video is 125 or something like that, mate.
Wow.
So you are whooping my ass.
Wait, I thought you meant 125,000.
No, I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to show off and go, yeah, I get 125,000. No, literally, I don't get that many views on my videos. I've not nailed YouTube whatsoever. I create the videos because I know over time it's going to help.
Oh, yeah.
But for me, podcast is where we're getting the thousands of downloads and that. But the YouTube channel is just like such a slow burn. It's ridiculous. And I need to work out how to hack that one. So if anyone's got any advice, point me in the right direction.
Yeah, contact Lee. So that's actually a perfect little segue into my last question, which is which platforms are working best for you and how you're actually tracking this stuff. You know, is there any way to track that people have found out about you from their podcast or from the video channel and all that sort of stuff?
The best way to find out when someone's contacting you is to ask them. Because sometimes there's no way, especially with podcasts, it's really hard to know where people have come from. Mm. But I would say a large portion of our clients nowadays are from the podcast, or at least they found me through the podcast, but then they start following me on social media. The most effective place I am at the moment is on Facebook, of all things.
Of course.
So we had a Twitter strategy about 2 years ago where we would disrupt people's feeds and we would get attention, and that would then convert into either followers or it would convert into someone inquiring about business, which was cool. But I kind of let it go a little bit and it stagnated, and we've just been hovering around the same followership, and I've given Twitter no love at all. Whereas nowadays I spend most of my time on Facebook, and I'm using it not just to market the content that I've got, but I'm using it to help people in the community that we've got, but also help people in your community. You've got a massive community and all the different groups, but also networking as well. I'm a big believer in networking, both locally but also online. Like me and you, we have networked together, we have passed leads, etc. So that tends to be what what I'm doing. The content is there to serve a purpose of helping people, but also to build up the credibility of me and my brand and my business. Mm. So people are seeing that even if they don't read the content, they are seeing that I am consistently putting out something, and that, you know, that I care, that I know enough, or I'm brave enough, as it were, to put it out there as well. And again, that's a massive credibility boost, and people tend to want to work with you. So I would highly recommend it, even if you are not having people pouring in like I don't on YouTube, you know, only get a few views per video. But when a prospective client comes along, I always send them a, hey, these are all the, if you want to get to know us before you work with us, here are all the channels that we're on. Here's the blog, here's the podcast, here's the YouTube channel. And it just puts our credibility through the roof, and people want to work with us instantly. So
yeah,
what was absolutely the question? Tracking. Yeah, I don't track, I ask. We do a bit of tracking, crystal.ai. We got it on an AppSumo deal. Thank you, Paul Lacey. Mm-hmm. That gives us the ability, because if I look at loads of numbers, I've no freaking clue what I'm looking at. I really do hate Google Analytics because I find it really confusing. I've got to go dig in and find it. Whereas crystal.ai allows you to connect all of your different social bits and bobs, as it were, and your Google Analytics. And then you just say to it, like, what's my biggest source of traffic? And the AI will work out what you're asking it, and then it'll give you a little graph which will say, hey, most of your traffic comes from Google, or most of your traffic comes from Facebook, or whatever it is. So it just kind of gets all of the content from the different places and then puts it in a nice simple graphs for you, and you can create a dashboard in it as well, which is pretty cool, which gives you a quick overview. So for example, we've done a massive drive on Instagram. Surprisingly, Instagram stories rather than anything else seem to be the most effective thing for us. So not actually putting an Instagram video, and if I put an Instagram post of a picture, I might get, you know, 50 likes and, you know, around the same amount of views. Whereas if I do an Instagram story, I'm getting 800 to 900 to, once we had 2,000 views on an Instagram story.
Wow.
Because, yeah, I know, it's ridiculous, because we're using hashtags in that, and obviously the net result of that is people are like, hey, who's this crazy guy on the web designer hashtag? I'm going to follow him. So that actually works as well for us.
That's amazing.
With regards to how are we converting that, I have no idea yet. We need to be at 10,000 followers before I can use links effectively. Yep. So telling people to go into the comment or go to my bio and click on the link is such a pain in the ass. And yep, I wish Instagram would stop doing that 10,000 follower.
Yeah, it's kind of a pain, isn't it?
So tempted to just buy some fake followers, but now I've said that publicly, I probably can't.
It's all right. I'll get a few people to follow you from this episode. Go on. What's the link?
Oh, yeah. Love your agency. Go on. Follow me on Instagram. Get me to 10K, folks.
Yeah, we'll take a little pause. We'll let you go and do that. I love that method you were talking about there, just asking people where they found out about you. Because this is what we have to do as well with Content Snare, because somehow we can't even track, even though it's an online business. And even before I started this podcast, we couldn't track anything because, you know, someone finds out about it, maybe it's through Facebook or whatever, and then they remember to go and Google it later, they tell their colleague, if they're in an agency, they tell someone else about this, like, Content Snare tool, and then their colleague Googles it, just Content Snare, you know, brand on brand keyword. And then they come through that, and 82% of our signups come from on brand or direct to our website. And I just have no clue where anyone's coming from. So the biggest thing we've done, immediately after sign up, it says get another 7 days of trial, like an extended trial, if you just say where you came from. So now my analytics is a Google Sheet, very, very high tech. But it's all we've got.
It's the only way, because there's so many touch points, isn't there? I mean, of content, just the content you create, you've obviously got the agency highway, you've got the Content Snare blog, you've got the Facebook group, you've got over 3,000 members in there, etc. So there's all these multiple channels that people are connecting with you. And obviously you've got the word of mouth recommendation. I have told multiple people in my local area about Content Snare. And like you said, they'll probably Google it, they'll go in and they'll sign up for a free trial, etc. I've recommended it to my clients as well verbally, because obviously I work with a lot of design agencies.
Thank you, sir.
Like, guys, you've got to check this out, because they'll commonly be saying, oh, we've not got the content yet, we can't build the site, or we can't build it. You just got to ask, because the other thing I think as well is I feel like the data is a little bit skewed half the time. Nothing makes sense. Like, I don't know whether Google Analytics is right half the time as well. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't look, the numbers don't look right. If you compare it to the like the local server AW stats, I think it doesn't look the same. Things look different. It's very confusing.
Yeah, I think that's a whole nother story and complaint there.
Yeah, because there you go.
Yeah. So what's the plans? What's the plans for your content strategy? Continue as it is now or expand into some more channels?
It is to grow the YouTube channel. We really want to put as much content out. We're setting up the studio. Once we've moved into this new office, it's ridiculously massive. It's way too big than what we need, but I wanted a place to grow into and I hate being crammed in. So we're going to set up the studio in there and then just do... we've got a whole content schedule. We've got 70 episodes planned, which we were going to be doing, but I can't really do them in this little pokey room. So we're gonna do all those videos out over the next few weeks, kind of batch those out once we've moved and then put them out over the course of there's about 3 months worth of episodes. Nice. There, which will be awesome. So I'll have no voice by the end of it. I'll have to keep changing t-shirt as well so it doesn't look like I'm always on camera, like in this.
the things you've got to think about when you batch.
Yeah, and when you're on screen. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm also launching another podcast in a few weeks' time, but that's for the events industry. So that will be to build up the personal brand. I've been very successful in building up a personal brand in the agency space, which has been awesome. Mm. But equally, you know, the event engine business does very well for itself. However, I kind of realized that the model I've applied in this industry would work really, really well as well in the events industry, especially because, well, quite frankly, in the events industry, there are not it's quite an old school sort of setup. Everyone still does things in the old fashioned way. You still hit the email lists and you hit the phones. Do you know what I mean? You know, people do a bit of retargeting and they do all of that sort of stuff, but they're all just finding their feet. And I was just thinking, this is a great opportunity just to go and share a whole lot of information as well. Again, free stuff. And I can repurpose the stuff I make in Agency Trailblazer. A lot of it's just relevant because it's marketing.
Okay, that's cool. Because I was going to say, like, because you're not doing enough already. you're going to do another podcast.
No. So I've already done kind of two trials of it in two different formats. Both formats I decided I hated. So I've canned them both and then I'll repurpose those episodes. So I've probably got like 20 episodes that are already pre-recorded that I can re-edit. But yeah.
So if you're sitting there listening to this and you were previously like, you know, I don't have time to create content, I think Lee's probably proved you wrong. I'm pretty sure you're not a superhuman, are you? Or are you?
No. Yeah. But I mean, if you are listening and think you don't have time for content, what I would encourage you to do is just go ahead and pick one thing. So if you can commit to every 2 weeks spending 10 or 20 minutes, because 5 minutes maybe is too much of a reach, but 10 or 20 minutes recording your thoughts about a particular question that you've received once every 2 weeks. That's two podcasts. Sorry, that's two. That's posts. Two blog posts every single month. The audio you recorded, you could break out into a few snippets and use them. Use the headliner.app, which is a website, and you could create some little audio snippets as well, which you can use on social media. And you could even, if you really wanted to, have a, you know, if it is 10 minutes of you chatting, that's actually a nice little podcast episode that people could listen to as well. So you could actually put that into a little podcast episode and all of that good stuff. So from just talking into your phone once every 2 weeks, you could have a blog post, a mini podcast episode, and you could split that up into lots of little mini snippets, audio snippets for social media. And if that's all you do, it's already tons more than not doing anything. And it's not a massive reach for the everyday person.
And it'll put you ahead of pretty much everyone else. So like, let's round it up. Let's say half an hour of talking and maybe an hour work to get it all sorted every 2 weeks. So
2 weeks.
That's a pretty minimal. Very, very achievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Pomodoro. Well, there you go. Yeah. Which will also have links to pretty much everything you spoke about there. So time blocking and your Crystal AI and various things, your YouTube channel. So yeah, please go and check those out.
Okay. I was going to say, should I just mention a whole load of random things now for you to have to put them in the show notes?
I'll just delete that audio later. Oh, okay. No. No, that's all going in. I only just learned what Downing Street is the other, when I was in London. There you go. So is how much, how worldly I am. Anyway, I'm going to fire off my last few little questions to you that are pretty, I don't know, unrelated. Well, let's relate the first one. I want to say when it comes to content, what would you go back and tell Mini Lee just starting out?
To go and do what I just told everyone else to do. Because I did it the really complicated way of trying to write blogs and, you know, spending hours, like you said, writing blogs and doing it the really slow way. I didn't batch. And I put doing a podcast off for about 2 to 3 years. So the WP Innovator podcast, as it was, it's now changed to Agency Trailblazer, could be 6 years old by now. But I kept kicking the can down the road. So I would just go back and say, stop making up excuses, Lee. You do have time and just get started. So there's that imposter syndrome as well. So I'd have told, you know, Lee 6 years ago as well, you know, you know enough, share what you know. And actually by sharing what you know, you actually start to learn more as well. By coaching, you end up learning and you end up telling people what you realize you need to be doing in your own business as well. So it's a freaking amazing way of learning and growing your personal self as well as the people you're helping with your content. So yeah, I'd have gone and give them a few slaps.
Absolutely. Good stuff. What's your favorite piece of technology right now?
Oh, man. Favorite piece of technology. I kind of like my iPhone. That's a bit boring, isn't it? Because I listen to podcasts on it all the time. I can't think of any technology.
No, it's all right.
Microphone's nice. If you want to get started podcasting, ATR2100 USB mic, it's just buy it. Forget all the other stuff.
Yeah. We've got the Rode NT USB here. I'll fight your 2100 with my...
Well, actually, yours doesn't sound very reverby either, so that's pretty good.
But we'll have a little microphone sword fight.
Yeah, exactly. But if you went for like the Blue Yeti, that is so sensitive, that would pick up the neighbor farting next door. So
yes.
I kind of ended up never using it because it was just too sensitive. So something like this, cordioid, that you can speak right into, job done.
Yeah, no, and I've seen many, many podcasters recommend that microphone. I'm just taking the piss. So it is, and it's very, very affordable.
Absolutely. $80.
Boom. All right. So where can people find out more about you?
Best place. Angledcrown.com and agencytrailblazer.com.
Absolutely. And we'll drop links to all the other things like your YouTube channel and the podcast and all that lovely stuff in the show notes, which I recommend you go and check out because like we've discussed, Lee drops so much value for agency owners, helps people out with so many things. So you definitely want to be connected to Lee.
Nice.
So thank you for joining me, Lee.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for listening. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave a review and share it with anyone you think will get something out of it. I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.